such a great party.
People around the world raised glasses of Scotch whiskey, recited poetry, and ate haggis recently, all to honor Scottish poet Robert Burns. The author of such works as Auld Lang Syne and My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose was born on January 25th, back in 1759, and his popularity endures. Historians say that's because, unlike his contemporaries, who wrote in more formal prose, Burns wrote like he spoke, in the Scottish dialect of the time. This made his poetry accessible to rich and poor alike. Vermont Public Radio's Nina Keck reports on a small group of Vermonters who like to think that their annual Burns dinner is not too different than parties the poet himself might have attended over 200 years ago.
Jim McCrae and Lynn Reuther both raise sheep in central Vermont, and both share a love of Scotland. So it kind of fit when the two friends decided years ago to try to make a haggis and celebrate Robert Burns with a small dinner party.
The night's a special night, and it developed over, over 10 years. And I think it's because we all encouraged each other to do the things that we love to do. Lynn loves to cook and loves to be the host. I love the poetry. I think Robbie Burns would enjoy it.
One of the highlights of the annual dinner party is Lynn Reuther's haggis, a traditional Scottish dish that's both beloved and reviled by natives.
The first year, of course, I didn't have any idea how to cook it, so I went to the Rutland Library, and they had two ancient books of Scots recipes. And so this is like from the 1800s, you know. And the first time I read it, I went, the pluck, what's that? The lights, what's that? And I actually had to find a Scottish woman who could tell me what these ingredients were in the haggis.
The pluck turned out to be the sheep's heart, lungs, and kidneys combined. The lights are the animal's lungs. Reuther says you boil and chop up the animal parts, throw in some spices, several handfuls of toasted oats, stuff it all in a cleaned-out sheep's stomach, and boil it for 3 hours.
I have to say, sometimes as I'm chopping this stuff up, I'm thinking, I'm going to eat this? And then it, like, transforms itself inside this stomach, and it's, and of course, a little bit of scotch doesn't hurt either to go with it.
It also helps to have your own sheep. Back in November, at a neighbor's barn, Lynn's husband, Bill, slaughtered one of their sheep for the party.
I think it's become part of the tradition for the Burns supper. That's the only way we can get the stomachs. We can't take a sheep to the commercial slaughterhouse. They will not, the FDA won't let you get the stomach and the heart and the lungs. So we couldn't do a traditional, make a traditional haggis if we didn't slaughter the sheep ourselves.
The Reuthers think using one of their own animals also adds to the authenticity of the evening. The 15 guests gathered 2 months later in the couple's century-old farmhouse agree.
Ladies and gentlemen, could I have your attention, please?
Yes, sir.
The haggis is about ready to be served and presented, so if you would take your seats.
It's not a true Burns supper if the haggis doesn't receive its due. So with much pomp and ceremony, the guests raise their glasses and salute what the poet himself called the great ruler of the puddin' race. This is an evening of history and tradition, of poetry and bawdy jokes, of kilts and Scotch whiskey. It's a party that harkens back to a time when people were more connected to the land, the elements, and each other. Guests at the Reuthers bring homemade cheeses and bread, homegrown turnips, potatoes, and greens, as well as bottles of homebrewed beer to share. John Peterson, a high school history teacher, revels in the tradition of it all. Resplendent in a formal kilt, he raises his sword and, with a twinkle in his eye, theatrically launches into one of Robert Burns' most famous poems, The Ode to the Haggis.
Fair fire on his sonsy face, great chieftain of the puddin' race. Upon them ah, ye take their place. Pinch, tripe, but them, ah, but well worthy are ye, o' grace, as langs me arm.
Didn't quite catch that? You're not alone. But if you're like most people at a Burns dinner, who don't speak antiquated Scots, you sit back, raise your glass at the appropriate moments, and savor the theater of it all.
His knife's a rustic labor dight and caught you up with a lady's slight, trenching your goshen entrails bright like on a ditch, and then...
Guest John Hartman says the laughter, music, and drama are what make this party so special.
One of the reasons that we celebrate him around the world is it was very much a part of the culture of Scotland in Burns' day, the lively exchange of ideas, conversation, the goings-on in an active social environment. And he lived in an incredibly social environment where people did entertain each other. And this dinner is really about those traditions.
Our ancient crown lies in the dust, and the devil bid them steward it, and write their names in his black book to give the Whigs the power o'er it.
With the holidays over and the days cold and short, this Burns dinner is a deep, dark winter celebration of life and art, one these guests look forward to every year.
God help us when the royal heeds are hunted like a mocking.
For Living on Earth, I'm Nina Keck in Chittenden, Vermont.
You're just a pack of traitor loons, you'll do no good at all. Doon the law, the Whigs will fall, all go topsail teedy, and the craw, the raven, and the rook will fly to the woods around my deedy. Doon the law, the Whigs will fall, all go topsail teedy, and the craw, the raven, and the rook will fly to the woods around my deedy. All right.